Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome into this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com, and the Keystone Sports app. Dustin Hawkinsmith here with Greg Pickle. We've got your Penn State football news. We've also got look back a little bit at National Signing Day. Greg and I didn't get a chance to do this ourselves.
Right.
I know the other guys this past week were able to put a bow on Penn State's 2018 class. We want a shot to do that too. So look at that. We're going to draw our conclusions from the class, kind of where this is all going, how it fits into the big picture of Penn State's program, maybe the 2018 depth chart a little bit. We'll start right around there in just a moment. We'll also talk some Penn State wrestling and some national recruiting storylines, including, I think, what's relevant about the rest of the Big Ten and how the Big Ten is recruiting, where Penn State stacks up, because it's really a two-horse race now. It looks like Ohio State and Penn State are recruiting in a way that none of the other programs are doing, including Michigan in this class, which was a surprise.
Yeah.
Let's start with the – I love the first roster release of the year for Penn State. There's always a couple little surprises on it, a couple weight numbers that catch your attention.
Yep.
I do want to get into the weights, and I don't really care so much about the numbers, although I'm intrigued by Micah Parsons wearing number 11. But I'm more intrigued, obviously, with the two notable position changes. Lamont Wade from cornerback to safety, I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
It makes sense.
Penn State finds a way to do this every single year. It's what the good programs always have to do. You have to move pieces around to address your depth concerns and things like that. Lamont Wade, with his ball skills, it's a dynamic back there, and I'm just going to work off the assumption that he's a starter, because it's hard to believe he wouldn't be.
Right.
His ball skills back there are just something that Penn State has not had, really, I think, since James Franklin got here. Love Marcus Allen, love what he does, but to have somebody just a little bit more rangy and dynamic back there, and he's physical too.
No question about it, Dustin. I think it goes back to the principle of you get your five best players on the field, and in this instance, Lamont Wade has to be on the field, but you have John Reed coming back, you have Imani Oruwariye coming back, you have Tariq Castro Fields, who's going to play a lot in 2018 at corner. So what were you going to do? Either Lamont Wade was going to play that nickel role again, and he wasn't going to maybe be on the field as much as he needs to be, or you move him to safety where, guess what? Aaron Monroe, John Patrician, Garrett Taylor, those guys, all good kids, and they'll all have their chance to compete, of course. But, Dustin, what makes you sure that they're going to be able – one of those guys is going to step up, and let alone two of them are going to step up to be the guy at that position that replaced Marcus Allen and Troy Apke? I just don't see it it's been hard. I mean, I just think that when you look at everything that those guys have done so far in their career, they've made some nice progress. They've helped on special teams. It's not clear, though, if those guys can be the guy at safety. I think Penn State's pretty sure, without even having him played a snap there in a game, that Lamont Wade can be the guy at safety. And you're right about the ball skills. He's a guy that can go out there and change games all by himself. So great, interesting position move there, and certainly one that I think will benefit Penn State.
One roster release, and I think there's a lot of people out there feeling a lot less nervous about the safety position. Because like you said, the point about needing to replace one, let alone two, is a little bit of an endeavor. Now you don't need two of those guys to make their breakout kind of leap. And there's some guys who are candidates to do it, but having somebody back there who we know is as competitive and physical and talented as Lamont Wade, it should ease a lot of people's minds. The other position change, I don't think it's as impactful, at least right away, as Lamont Wade, but Damian Barber moving from defensive end to defensive tackle. At some point in time, I think it was on one of these podcasts, I made this call.
You did. Absolutely, you did.
But at the same time, I make a lot of calls defensive end to defensive tackle, because that's one of the most commonly used transitions that this staff uses. But Damian Barber has just a monster frame. I think they list him at like 6'3", 245 now.
Yep.
But it would not be a surprise. Remember, this might be a bad comparison, but Cam Carter in – 3-4 months time went from roughly the same weight to about 300 pounds.
Yeah.
So it can happen.
Oh, sure.
Damian Barber, I would not be surprised if we see in the summertime that he comes out at about 280.
Yeah, and keep in mind that some of the weights were updated and some of them weren't. So Damian Barber could very well be bigger than 245 at this point. And they just didn't update it when they put this new roster out. But, yeah, I mean, he's a guy that was always a candidate to do this, I think. And I think that, again, this is one of the reasons that Penn State was after him so hard, because they knew that not only he could maybe play end, but he's a candidate now to be kind of like the Ryan Buchholz of the future, where you bring him in on some situations to play defensive tackle. You bring him in to play end in other situations. I mean, there's many ways you can use this guy. So their thinking, I think, is that let's get him bulked up. And then Kevin Givens is another example, too, of a guy that will play maybe a little bit of a smaller defensive tackle, a big defensive end, and they'll see what he can do. So I think it's a move that makes sense. I think that, as you said a long time ago, it was probably always coming, or at least a chance of this was out there. And sure enough, they slide him into a position where it makes sense to build depth for the future, especially because, let's be honest, I mean, they've done a really nice job the last two classes recruiting defensive tackle, but the depth there is still something they're working on.
I think that was the thing. So you look at Kevin Givens and Robert Windsor as probably your two starters there, and I think that's fine. But I think the bigger thing was a numbers issue with as deep as they want to go in a rotation there. They probably needed another body, and getting Damian Barber on that track now. I'm curious. I don't know if 2018 we'll see anything significant from him other than maybe the end of rotation snap kind of things. But in the future, I like him better as a tackle than as a defensive end. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show talking some Penn State football here. Looking at the updated roster, which the two position changes we noted, Lamont Wade to safety, Damian Barber to defensive tackle. The freshman dimensions came out too. And I don't think there was anything hugely surprising about this other than Nick Tarburton now being listed at 6'3", 260, and still a linebacker.
Yeah.
You know, we had questions. For now. when he was listed at 6'3", 6'4", 240 by recruiting services. Now up to 260 and a linebacker. The one thing I'll say about this, and you haven't seen, you look at 3-4 defenses in the NFL, and maybe it's apples to oranges, but a guy like Connor Barwin, for example, is enormous, and he has the range and all that to cover ground.
Yep.
It's not unheard of. It's just, I would say, uncommon at this level, and especially the way that Penn State plays its defense. I wouldn't expect a big linebacker like this. But at the same time, James Franklin has been clear. He's going to put unique athletes as many places as he can.
Yep, no question about it. The other one that jumped out to me, not a freshman, but C.J. Thorpe up to 330 pounds. Guy's going to be a problem. I don't know if it's this year or next year. I'm not sure exactly where his development's at, but Dustin, he keeps putting on good weight. He is going to be an issue for defensive linemen in the Big Ten for years, assuming the technique and all that is where it needs to be, because this guy, he just looks like he looked like a monster at the end of last season. And you can just imagine now what a month of winter work or a month of lifting and then 2 months of winter workouts will do for him in that route. So I'll tell you what, he's going to be impressive to look at once spring practice starts. So with Tarburton, I mean, we've talked about this for a while, but it's just hard to see him not ending up along the defensive line. I think that when you look at everything he's done, all the work he's done to get to Penn State, he's made clear that he wants to try and play linebacker, but sometimes your nature won't allow for it. And I think this is one of those instances where he's outgrown the opportunity to play linebacker. I could be wrong, but I just think that sooner rather than later, Penn State's probably going to slide him down to the line and make him a defensive end, and he'll probably thrive there. He has all the talent to do it.
It seems inevitable, but this is amateur opinion here. And I would be a lot more inclined to pencil him in for that transition if we didn't see James Franklin really, to me, trying to prove a point with Shaka Toney at defensive end and making this case for guys that he doesn't need a certain body type. So we'll see. He's still listed as a linebacker. I would expect that to remain the case through the summer and into the fall.
Yeah.
But longer term, if he's 260 pounds and he's been on campus for a month, you can do the math and see that maybe he's headed in another direction.
Yep.
Micah Parsons, the number 11, LeVar Arrington. I know our friend Mark Brennan got a video of LeVar, who seems pretty excited about Micah in the first place. But this is, I usually don't care about numbers so much, but that number 11 is a special number at Penn State. And to me, Micah Parsons is the first guy to come along in a while that looks like he could do some of the game-wrecking type stuff that LeVar did.
No question about it. I think that when you look at it made sense for him to wear that number. But there was a part of me that wondered if he – not I shouldn't say shy away from it, because I don't think Mike has shied away from much. But, you know, that's a lot of weight to put on yourself the first year that you're in school. But he's going to embrace it, and he has embraced it, and I think that's great for him and for the program. I thought Jesse Luceda at 6'3", 235 was interesting. I think he's a guy that can probably help sooner rather than later.
Exactly where you want him to be.
Right,
absolutely. I mean, isn't that if you were going to write down the prototypical mm-hmm. dimensions of a linebacker,
yep.
that's pretty much it.
Yeah. Yeah, and Dustin, the other thing that really jumped out to me was the fact that Isaiah Humphreys, he's going to wear the same number two as Marcus Allen, and 6 foot, 190 pounds. This is a guy that wanted to enroll early so that he could get on campus and get his body right, and it looks like it's right now. And he still has, like we talked about, all this time between workouts, spring practice, etc., to grow. So, I mean, I think opening day, we know Lamont Wade and Nick Scott are probably going to be the starters. But I'll tell you what, Isaiah Humphreys is going to put himself at least physically into that conversation, and we'll see how it plays out on the field. But certainly, I think Penn State has to be thrilled with the fact that not only did he enroll early, but he's already in seemingly great shape and getting close to that 200-pound mark you like to see your safeties at.
Yeah, and you got to think – a few months, who knows where that 190 goes.
Right.
I like him too, and the opportunity seems to be there. Special teams, his abilities on special teams could help make a difference in him trying to get on the field. I wanted to go back, and Zach Coons at 6'7", 230 is another number to watch. That is not something you see every day. But I just wanted your thoughts on landing Rashid Walker before we move too far. He commits and signs on National Signing Day. They get a 6'6", 300-pound, four-star offensive tackle. Can't be overstated.
No, it cannot. Look, people, I think, are jaded a little bit by tackle recruiting because they want every – you know, it's hard sometimes. These guys, even the best ones across the country – you know, they need sometimes a year or two to play, but I think that, you know, there's this, you know, because of what happened with a couple guys previously, that, you know, there's this sort of bated breath, I guess you could say, every time they get
Say the name, Greg.
Well, I mean, there's a couple different guys. I mean, at least I thought that Michael Mennick could start early, and he just hasn't gotten onto the field yet. He's going to move inside, so that takes care of that. Sterling Jenkins, of course, is a guy that was a four-star that everyone talked about maybe being needing a year or two to get on the field, but it hasn't happened yet. There's some other guys, too. It's not just those two, but I think that, you know, when you get a guy like this, Dustin, him and Asidu, I mean... You got to hit on one of them, right? At least one of them. I mean, the law of averages says that you should hit on at least one of these guys. If you hit on both of them, you have anchor tackles for 4 years. There's no question about it. And I also thought it was interesting that the way James Franklin was talking, it almost sounds like Ryan Bates could maybe move back inside one day if one of these guys pans out. That could be pretty interesting, too. Penn State's offensive line, though, is going to become a strength. There's no question about that. It already was close to it. It's really going to be one now.
All right, that's just the tip of the iceberg. We're going to move on to some signing day conclusions, some thoughts on Rashid Walker. Stick around. We're going to tackle that right after this. Hey, Dustin Hockensmith here from the Keystone Sports Network. I wanted to share my own firsthand experience using 409 tailgate sauce. It's a product you hear about often on the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is not an advertisement. It is a fact. 409 tailgate sauce is different from every barbecue sauce I have ever bought. It's not that thick, syrupy, artificial stuff you'll find on grocery store shelves. It's lighter, it's more versatile, and it's good on just about everything. I'd recommend going to 409tailgateclub.com right now. See what I mean, experience that difference, and tailgate with honor.
160,000 miles. That's on average how often you'll use your car insurance. But what if you could get help with more often? Maybe save a couple of bucks on clothes or at restaurants. What if you could even get rescued roadside when a tire goes flat or your battery dies? You can. When you're a member and your auto insurance is AAA. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about how AAA works at every mile.
The harsh rain and wind ahead will be very tough on your roof. Prepare for the season by showing your roof you give a shingle and call Long Roofing. That's Long, L-O-N-G, the name that's been trusted by families across the Mid-Atlantic region for more than 70 years. Right now, you will get free gutters with your roof replacement from our friends at Long Roofing. Give them a call today for a free estimate on your roof at 844-405-LONG. That's 844-405-L-O-N-G.